Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 10. Welcome to a front row seat to the end times. Like it or not, here we are, the day of deception. And if you know the Lord, he's told us what to watch for. And hopefully we're watching and we have the right mindset, because we need the right mindset to enter into these times of sorrows. And Matthew 10, we're going to start. And there's so much good in here. 10, let's see, let's look at verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep. Two nice little sheep. Everybody around you loves you. The church is so wonderful. Just come and be entertained and have fun. Oh, sorry, I misquoted that. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpent and harmless as doves. But beware of who? Beware of men. For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Now he's talking about to his disciples. He's telling them that following him, there's a price to pay. And if you listen to today, they say there is no price. The price today to follow Jesus is finding your purpose, to have your destiny, right? Well, Jesus doesn't say anything about that. He tells you right now that you're going to be in the midst of wolves. And he said, beware of men, because they're going to deliver you up. And then he says in verse 18 that you shall be brought before governors. Oh, wow, we have governors again, don't we? And kings for my sake, for a testimony, what? Against them and the Gentiles. Let's see, where do we want to go? Let's look at verse 22. Read the whole thing when you have time. I wanted to go all the way through 40, but because of time, we're going to slice it up just a little bit. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. It doesn't say you shall be loved. You shall have mega churches. You shall be famous. You shall be on television. What is different about what the Bible says and what we're living today? Remember, beware when Christianity becomes popular, because it's not Christianity. It's what? It's another gospel. It's another Jesus. He said, you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Verse 25, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not. And I want you to see how many times he tells us not to fear them. Even though you're going to be in the midst of wolves, disciples, even though you're going to be hated because of my name's disciples, don't be afraid of them. Verse 28 again, and fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Verse 34, keep reading this whole thing. In verse 31, it says again, fear not, fear not, fear not. First of all, he says, fear not, verse 31, because God's going to take care of us. You're more valuable than the sparrows. Verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Well, the big movement now is peace. The big movement now in the so-called world is unity, love, right? He said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth, for I came not to send peace, but what? But a sword. Now, what kind of a sword? For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be that of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth not me receiveth him that sent me. Anyway, I didn't read that too well. But if you go through the culture of today, it's pulling towards tolerance. It's towards anything that goes. It doesn't matter what you do or don't do. The culture is pulling much towards the left, and the church is being dragged along with it. But the Bible tells those that are true disciples that we have a price that we need to pay. And we're not hearing that enough today about the true price of being a disciple. There was a national speaker who was speaking to generations of youth. And his speech basically said, it's not going to cost you anything to be a Christian. He said, why don't you turn your life over to the Lord? Nothing's going to change. You won't lose any family. You won't any friends. It's just going to be a better life. So these people all want to have a better life. So they just come up accepting this so-called Jesus that he's presenting at this National Youth Convention, saying there's no price to pay. So these young believers, when they get into a trial or a temptation, they are not ready to handle any kind of mental warfare because they haven't been prepared for it. And the church at large is the same. We've not been taught how to be a disciple, how to stand alone against a herd, how not to follow the masses, right? We all think, well, this is supposed to be easy. This is supposed to be a blessed life. I'm supposed to not have any problems. I'm not supposed to have any tribulations. But if you look at Jesus and what he told his disciples, it's totally different what the preachers are telling their disciples today. So what do we have to do? We have to go back to what the Bible says. So as the culture pulls left, the church will risk being dragged along with it. We must be light in the darkness. And the world is getting darker. Every week, things are happening. Things are changing fast. This means standing alone against the masses, the herds, the wolves. Are we ready to count the cost of being a true disciple? Ask yourself, do you have the mindset to be a true disciple? To speak the truth to a generation and a culture that does not want to hear it. Matthew 24, 9 through 11, Jesus tells us Christians will be hated by the majority. He speaks of apostasy, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. He says there's going to be a great falling away. Well, if you listen to the preachers of today, they're talking about the third great awakening. They're talking about an awakening that's going to happen globally with all religions and all nations. Well, who's telling the truth here? Is there going to be a falling away, or is there going to be a great awakening? What kind of an awakening is happening? So again, a national youth ministry ended in an evening full of fun, games, and I love fun and games, but that's not the purpose. Today, we need to have a solemn assembly. We need to let people know what's really happening in the world because they need the right mindset for the end times that we're living in. Because if you don't have a proper mindset, you're going to be weak, you're going to fall away. And God wants us to endure, what? To the end. He is our hope. Don't put your hope in men. Don't put your hope in a church. Don't put your hope in a political party. They cannot save you. Jesus is our Savior, right? So he was telling them, being a Christian isn't hard. You won't lose your friends. You won't be even unpopular at school. Nothing's going to change at all. Well, that's the first red flag. If nothing changes, you didn't get saved. Your life will be the same, just better. So is that what Jesus said to his disciples? No, Jesus gave a warning. In Matthew 10 here, he was giving warnings to his disciples so they'd have the right mindset to gear up for the wolves. For those that didn't like him, that those that didn't follow him, that those that didn't want to have anything to do with him. And today, for a generation that doesn't want to hear about a Jesus that they want nothing to know about. Because Jesus is not visitor friendly. He said, you want to leave too? He took a whip and cleaned out the money changers out of the temple, right? He's not the visitor friendly. Oh, yeah, we want to be a part of that group. He was letting you know he wants holiness in his temple. What did Jesus teach? Jesus taught there were two gates. One was narrow and one was wide. It's going to cost you to walk in the narrow road sometimes. It's going to cost you sometimes when you want to follow Jesus and no one else does. You're in a group that no one else believes what you believe. The wide gate leads to a broad road. The broad road lets anybody on it. The broad road is what the Antichrist wants. He wants a broad road. And the wide gate leads to a broad road and into hell. And the narrow gate leads into a narrow road and into heaven. He indicated that people were like trees. Either good fruit was going to grow or bad fruit was going to grow. You can tell people's lives by the fruit they grow. Sometimes by the words out of their mouth. Who do they serve? Who do they give all their praise to? Jesus spoke about two foundations. One solid rock and the other sinking sand. Building on the rock provides for survival and strength, whereas building on the sand, it leads to destruction. Jesus claimed he was the only way to the Father. He was the narrow gate, the good tree, and the solid rock. Preach that to a generation today that wants everything easy, that wants everything free, that doesn't want to work. It's sometimes work just to get your mind right. You have to renew your mind. We have to renew our mind, not according to the propaganda of the world. And we're going to talk about this today. Propaganda, what is it? And as a Christian, how you have to guard your mind today for what you're listening to. Because what you listen to is going to program you to act a certain way. And that's why the Bible warns us. Don't let anyone deceive you. Beware of men. Why? Because there's an antichrist system that we were born into. Don't think you're going to change it. But you can not be a part of it as far as your mind and your processes. Because if God shows you what's coming, you'll know not to fear. Not to fear and also to have hope in Him. Amen. People in the world have no hope what's going on. They think the government's going to save them. They think this party is going to save them and that party is going to save them. If that was the case, we wouldn't need Jesus to come. And people now are trying to live their lives without Him. Or they're taking scriptures and pretending they are Christians just to deceive people. There's a twisting going on that's almost worse than any kind of deception because you don't know. They say they're Christians, but they're not. I was a snake and you let me in. People loved Him or they hated Him. They followed Him or they rejected Him. And today they're going to do the same with us. Paul was beaten and imprisoned. Paul was a true apostle. 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 25. The message of the cross he preached is foolishness to this world. And other big denominations that say they're Christian, they don't think that Jesus dying on the cross was enough. They have to rub beads, they have to do different things, they have to go different places, purgatory, different, because Jesus didn't pay it on the cross. It's foolishness to believe, but it's the power of the gospel, that the cross, Jesus died on the cross for us. We are to consider Him who endured opposition. Why? So we don't grow weary and faint in our minds. Because sometimes the road gets rough when you try to explain to people that they need a Savior and they don't think they need one. They're doing fine without Him. Today, what are we facing? I want to talk just a little bit about what we're facing. I'm not going into anything really in detail, but for you to know what propaganda is so you don't get sucked into it. Whether you call it secular humanism, political correctness, postmodernism, or cultural Marxism, the philosophy, and notice that word philosophy, has entrenched itself in our society as the 21st century new normal. The culture has shifted. And we are not to shift with cultures. We are not to shift with movements. We are not to shift with what's going on in the world. Although we live in the world, we're not of it because we know that this world is going down a different path than we as believers are. So what are we facing today and how are we supposed to deal with it? Psalms 2, why do the nations rage? Or one translation says, why do the nations conspire? And the people plot in vain. The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against His anointed. You have to have a mindset going into this end times that the political systems and the religious systems and this one world governments that are coming are against the Lord and His anointed. Or you will be so vexed, just like Lot and Sodom. They were in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were vexed. There was just a vexing because it's such a darkness that's happening. And we have to gear up in our minds to know what's happening, what we are facing. It's against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. At the root of the New World Order is rebellion against the Lord and against His people, against His anointed. Mortal man is once again raising their collective fists to God and declaring their independence against the Creator of the universe, placing themselves on the throne. We are not for any hate groups. I don't care what they call themselves, what their veneer is. These hate groups are a plot to bring down the United States of America that we love and that we've known. We're in the midst of a dismantling of things we've never seen or experienced before. The United States of America was number one, is coming down. They don't want it to be a superpower anymore. So we are seeing the dismantling, like it or not. We are seeing people rise up their fists to God in declaring their independence against the creator of the universe, placing themselves on the throne. They have bought into Satan's lie that was in the Garden of Eden and repeatedly throughout the Bible. They are being deceived and deceiving others. In order to be in deception and be a deceiver, they have to believe lies. And Satan is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning, and his disciples are liars as well. And you have to know you can't trust people that are not serving the Lord. They're serving the devil. And there is an antichrist, Luciferian thing that's happening worldwide. It has to happen. And unfortunately, we're living in some of the days that we're seeing it being set up and framed right now, because Revelation 17 has to happen. Some of these things have to happen. The antichrist system, the beast, is rising. So there's warfare for your mind. And I want to tell you today, guard your mind. Guard what goes into your mind. And don't just soak in something because you see it somewhere. Make sure that you know and you're studying so that you know what you're allowing in your mind, because what you allow in your mind is going to affect you, and it's going to affect your actions, your behavior. So today we're in a truth crisis. Disinformation is rampant. Lies are rampant. It's hard to find truth. And truth, if it's going against the narrative, is censored today. There's more censoring that's happened in the last year than we've ever seen. Right. There's a propaganda war spread through the media, the schools. I feel very sorry for the kids today that are going to go into schools. I've seen some of the curriculum that they're planning on presenting into the new curriculums. A lot of the old history books are thrown away, and they're being dismantled and done away with. And there's new things that are going to be added. That parents, you got to be aware of what your kids are studying today, and you got to guard that. You have to be a parent that protects your children today. You have to be a parent that's watching what's going on and not just throw them in front of a teacher or throw them in front of a video or throw them in front. You have to know what's going on, because they've infiltrated our cartoons. Everything's being infiltrated that you think is for children. Their goal is to get children's minds. They want those children's minds. Get them young. So there's a propaganda that's being spread through the media, schools, and entertainment industries. It's infiltrating, and it has always infiltrated. We just didn't know it. When you got awoke, most of you got born again, you didn't realize you were just being lied to. And it's like, why didn't anyone tell me I needed to be, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, think about this next generation. It's going to be harder and harder. But on the other hand, the darkness is going to be so dark, I believe a lot of people are going to come to the Lord. It's probably going to be a huge coming. People know that what's happening, they need a real Savior. God uses everything for His glory. God uses everything. But we have to remember, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against people. We are wrestling against principalities, against powers that have been here. These principalities and demonic spirits are not new. They've been around. They've been planning the demise of mankind and the world, and they're trying to present a new world order, which every country is going to participate in. So we're dealing with a war against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6:12. That's why God tells us, don't love this world. If you're in love with the world and think this is all that it is, you're going to be very disappointed, because a lot of things are burning today. We're seeing protests and burning and all this and that, and people's livelihoods are going down. And you have to know there's a greater hope. There's something else in this world. Jesus is our hope. The most malevolent, I tried to pronounce this, malevolent. What does that mean? Producing harm or evil. Vicious powers and ruthless powers is that over the free human mind. Now listen to this. If one controls how one thinks, they control the individual themselves. This is in the new eugenics and the rise of the global scientific, notice that word, scientific dictatorship. So their goal is to control your mind. God warned us to be renewed, our mind. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This world is a big toilet bowl wanting to suck you in. We now face censorship if we question the official narrative of the globalists. We face agendas now we've never faced before. We're coming into some new plans. We live in a time of disinformation coming from every direction. Faith in God is being presented as obsolete thinking. Faith in God is old. Now, what does man want to believe in himself? The power within you, the power within your own words, the new age. How quickly we went from the mega churches to who need church anyway. Think of that. Just a few years ago, the mega churches were huge, and now who needs church anyway? Just turn on a video. You don't need fellowship. I want you to know God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, especially as the day approaches. Amen. Encouragement. We get together and we strengthen each other. The devil knows this, so he wants to isolate you. He wants you to disassemble. That's what he's working on now. Disassemble. Disassociate. Think about that. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elementary spiritual forces of this world. This is in Colossians 2:8, rather than on Christ. Be careful what you're feeding on. Is it a philosophy of man? Is it a philosophy of the world? Fear is now a tactic of the fake news to control you. And I'm going to prove this to you now, a little bit about propaganda. I read a whole very boring book on propaganda just to get a few important facts out here. What is propaganda? I remember one thing my dad telling me when I was in high school. He never talked about the war. A lot of you know he got a Purple Heart, World War II. Everyone died, but he was the only one that lived. And he suffered. He suffered. I never knew how horrible it was, but he was so mean, and he really, you know, got saved finally at the end of his life. But wow, talk about war and what these young kids go through, and the breaking down of the just the boot camp in itself, just all this stuff. Anyway, I remember him saying one thing to me. He said the war was propaganda, and I didn't know what that word meant. I thought, what does that mean? But I was, you know, in a hurry probably, and just ran off, but it never left me. A couple things he said, because he wasn't around home much. But that word never left me. I was like, what did he mean by propaganda? Now, propaganda is information of a misleading nature to promote a point of view or a political cause, to further an agenda. It's selective facts. Propaganda, you just choose certain facts. It's misleading to promote agendas. Now, what the propaganda book that I was reading says, what they do is they understand humans, they try to figure out how people are going to react. So to further their agendas, they understand mass psychology, who influences the habits of the public. So they're like, who can we say endorses this so that the public will listen and the public will obey? It's got to be somebody important, right? So they've studied this. So they usually use the doctor and the scientists. Or today we have data. Now, I'm going to hit on doctors a little bit. And I say, because I do have a doctorate, and I can tell you one thing. Anybody can get it if you just work hard enough. You just spent the time. That doesn't mean you're brilliant and you're smart. And it doesn't mean that you're following the Lord. Or you can be paid off. People, if you're told to do certain things, people will say it. They can be bought off. People will follow the advice of experts. They're an expert in that field, so I'm going to follow them. Propaganda experts that control the minds of men. And they found out in this book that they'd have to get people, propaganda experts, they called them. How can we promote this? Because public opinion is very important. We got to have public opinion. We got to get the masses to follow what we're saying. How are we going to do this? This is hundreds of years of controlling the minds of men. They manipulate the facts and opinions of the masses. It's called television. It's called programming, a new way to bind and guide the world. The manipulation of the news to divide and conquer, or if they want to fan the flame, let's put this up, and let's keep putting this up, and let's put it up and up and up and up and get everyone angry. It's called manipulation of your mind. It's called manipulation of your emotions. No important undertaking, they said, is carried on without true propaganda experts. The approval of the public is essential. It changes our mental picture of the world, and we must give people a global picture of the world, especially now that we're all at home and we're one world, we're all in this together. If you caught that. One of the most firmly established principles of man's psychology is to follow a trusted leader. Why? Because the herd can't think for itself. And this is what they said in the book. And propagandists can swing a whole mass of groups' emotions, direct their feelings, and control their actions. Or, I put this in myself, shut the world down with data, even if the data is false. And one of the guys I was studying says, I love data because we can change data. Now, this was a doctor in, what was it, the 30s, Tim? 1930s? Yes. Don't be foolish. Take your doctor's advice. Smoke a fresh cigarette. From the 1930s through the 50s, advertising's most influential, powerful phrase, doctor recommended. Smoke your cigarettes. Of course, if the doctor says smoking is good for us, we're going to do it. So, doctors recommended was paired with the world's deadliest consumer products, cigarettes. Cigarettes weren't seen as dangerous then, but they still made some smokers cough, they said. The Marshalls, this was a brand then, they said this was the best brand, the only genuine brand. It will absolutely cure. You want to hear what it's going to cure? Asthma. Hay fever. Cold in the head. And then they had advertisements. Now the and if the doctor says it. Now today it's a scientist, if the scientists say it. Now the advertisements, they had images of storks taking smoke breaks. Cigar parents raising cigarette babies. And children smoking while their parents look on and giggle. It was a family affair. Smoking's good for you because the doctor said so. What is that? Mass psychology. So people ran out and everyone smoked. You look at those old movies, black and white, everybody smoked, right? It's healthy, the doctor says so. Later on, when they found out the truth, it was called coffin nails. You want to die early? Smoke some coffin nails. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. They lied to us then. I'm going to tell you again, they're lying again. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Television is programming. Lies are all dressed up as science. Turn over to 1 Timothy 6:12. I want to read this scripture. Did I say it right? 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings. That's half the TV right now, vain babblings. And oppositions of science, falsely so-called. So everything's being called science now. Science. Who says so? Is it according to what the Bible says, or is it according to these propaganda experts we have again? Now, if they had them in the 30s, don't you think they have them now? To what? To get the herds to go in the way they want them to go. I want to tell you, the most important thing you have is your mind. And if you allow the devil to steal it and put fear in you and torment you, you know what? That causes tremendous stress on your body. When you just listen to bad stuff, bad stuff, bad stuff all the time, and you're afraid, and you're afraid, and you're afraid, you just got to shut it off. Or be an observer. Just sit and watch and say, okay, this is what they're saying is happening. Last night I watched, 5 people got shot just a few blocks down that way. 5 people in 3 weeks got shot. Wow. I'm not going to be afraid of it, but I am aware. Sometimes it's not too smart to go out in certain areas at night anymore, what's going on in the world. But lies are dressed up as science. It says here, keep yourself away. Avoid profane and vain babblings. You know, these people get on for 2 hours a day now, or an hour. Just get the highlights. Don't get you're going to exhaust yourself listening to all this vain babblings. And you know what they do? They go in circles. They contradict themselves. They're saying one thing and then another thing. This is all by design to get you confused, to get chaos, to get people upset. This is a day that they want chaos, divide and conquer. They want division. Why? You have to know the greater plan. So here, lies are all dressed up, science, deception by qualified professionals. Who are you to doubt? If the doctor tells you smoking's good, I mean, they actually, Tim was looking at it, and they actually said it was from a vine of fruits, right? Yep. I mean, it was such good, healthy vines of fruit that smoke, doesn't matter if it makes you cough, it's really good for you. Who am I to doubt a doctor? You're just a nothing, a nobody, and he has a degree behind his name, and he knows what's good for you. Who are you to doubt? This is what happens to people. Well, when you know your Bible, the Bible says don't trust men so easily. Ask questions. Why is this so confusing? Why is this guideline here, but it's not here? How come nothing is consistent today? Well, ask questions. Use your mind that God gave you. If the data shows it's happening, it's happening. Cold, hard facts in a well-proven scientific model. Who are you to question? All of a sudden, E equals MC squared, and we're all going to die. Does any of this make sense? And I'm closing. Scientists, for the right price, will support their lies with manufactured data, unscientific and unrealistic models. It's been happening for a long time. The problem is, we didn't know it. The slow release of fear, constant, day in, day out, fear, 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 causes your brain to just shut down. You stop fighting, you just give in. It weakens you. Weakens your immune system. Everything about you gets weakened when you just constantly, constantly feed on fear. Scare tactics work. Don't you remember, was it in the 70s? Everybody was taping their windows up because a bomb was coming. They were afraid of nuclear wars. Scare tactic works. Trust us, wise scientists. Agendas causing chaos and misery to bring about the new world order. An ideal way to control human behavior. And what they said in this 1970, I have all the paperwork to it, they were saying there's too many humans on the earth. And the problem with climate change is humans. They're giving off too many emissions. Your car is giving off too many emissions. We're going to have to decrease cars and heal Mother Earth. We are moving into a huge green agenda. So if you don't see it now, these scientists and their data and all this stuff is going to just keep exploding because they know best, and they're going to tell you, you know, they're teaching the young ones now, don't even have a home. You need a little apartment because of the energy and the emissions, what you're doing to Mother Earth. They're programming these kids at a young age to believe their lies. So parents, you got to stand up. Grandparents, you got to teach kids, and you got to watch what's coming through their shows and their TVs and their homework and see what's going on. Because they're saying, in 1970 they said this, that they declare man the enemy of humanity. Guess what? You're not the enemy of humanity. God created man. And God tells us there's going to be enough things in the earth. He tells us the times and the seasons. But he says how the Antichrist wants to change everything. And this is what's happening. We're seeing the Antichrist system trying to reverse. Just think, to say that man is bad. God created humans, and he created them to produce. They want to have people stop having children. Did you know that? Because you're taking up too much oxygen. You're taking up too much this or that. So who now becomes God and controls who lives and who dies? This is what we're facing in our life. They're saying that real enemy is humanity. And it's going to be more and more you're going to hear about sustainable development. What's sustainable? Emissions, how much carbon footprints, how much of this and that. Things are changing and they're changing fast. But I want to encourage you in closing, you have to have the right mindset for this. You have to gear yourself up. God did not say it was going to be easy. He told his disciples, you're a sheep among wolves. Right? So when the wolves come out, why are we surprised? When all of a sudden you find out somebody's not who you think they are, why are we surprised? God told us. He told us. Well, I thought, you know, we voted them in and they were good for us. Who said they were good for us? How many know that some of them are following another agenda and another plan? And it's not the Christian plan. We're in a war. We're in a spiritual battle with principalities and powers. So I just want to encourage you all in closing, get the right mindset. No, we're in a battle. And this isn't the end. We're starting. These are the good days. I believe in the United States of America and many countries, these are the good days. Be thankful for it. Don't get distracted by a lot of these little petty things that are going around. I believe these are distractions. And hang on to the truth. Jesus saved us. We have heaven to look forward to. Are some people going to struggle? Yeah. You need to prepare. Because this fall and this winter, with this election coming up, anything can go. And I'm not saying I know what's going to happen, but I know from what some of the things I've read, you got to gear up and just be prepared for the long haul. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Amen? So be encouraged. You're saved. You're on the right track. You're on the narrow path. And if people don't want to hear you, well, guess what? They didn't want to hear the disciples back then either. So be encouraged. You're in good company. We have a great cloud of witnesses round about us. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Now we're going to have communion together with our online church and our subscribers here because a lot of you don't have a church anymore. And so we wanted to do this to pray with you and to take communion together. And I want to do Rick, who I've known for 45 years, I think. Wow, yeah, it's been a while. And then he married my best friend, Barb, and some of you have heard from Barb in the past, but yeah, we want to take communion now, and we're very thankful that we can do it together.
Good morning. That's for those of you in Minnesota right now. We're starting off our service, or our after service, I should say, with communion today. And we just want to give a moment if people watching online want to grab, you know, the elements and get some juice and some bread and just want to make sure you have a moment to do that. And my name's Rick. My wife and I have been, well, we've known Pastor Roberta for many years, but we've been going here for the last, I don't know, several years, four or five, I guess. And we're a recovering Word of Faith addicts. And and just want to say, you know, communion is a very special thing. And, you know, as Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 11, we need to examine our hearts, you know, before we take it. And he even mentions how, you know, people that don't discern the Lord's body, that's one of the reasons that many are weak and sickly among you. So, you know, this is an opportunity for us to really draw near to the Lord and to acknowledge, you know, his word and his power and the covenant that he purchased with his blood for us. And just thank you, Lord, for that. So I've spent some time in my life, communion's been very special to me as a two-time cancer survivor. I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma twice, and God's been very gracious for me, and I plan to stay on the devil's hard to kill list for some time. So 1998 and 2009, I dealt with that, and God's been very good, and I'm alive because of his grace, and communion was very special during that time as well. So we praise God for that. So I'll just start off with 1 Corinthians 11. Hopefully you all have a moment to get your stuff, your elements here. Paul wrote, and this is, I'm going to make one little switch here. So the King James Version. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Sorry for those of you listening to the mic. I know. Thank you, Lord. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the word, Lord, unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And we just thank God for his mercy and his grace. And Father, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this great, it's almost hard to describe, the great covenant, Lord, that you purchased with the blood of your Son. And we just give you thanks right now, and we just want to honor you and glorify you. We just give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right-hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.